Burns out the party.
All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Ananda. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 12, Text 30, Birth of Emperor Pariksit. Sa esha loke vikyata. Pariksit yat prabhu. Purvam dishtam anukyayam. Pariksit anadesh iha. In this loke were vikyata things. Rishi, one who examines. Iti sas yat what? Prabhu, O my king, purvam before. Jishtam, seen, anityayan, constantly contemplating, pirikshetha, shall examine, nareshu, unto every man, iha, here. Translation, so his son would become famous in the world as Parikshit, examiner, because he would come to examine all human beings in his search after that personality whom he saw before his birth. Thus he would come to constantly contemplate him. Report. Maharaj Pariksit, fortunate as he was, got the impression of the Lord even in the womb of his mother. And thus his contemplation on the Lord was constantly with him. Once the impression of the transcendental form of the Lord is fixed in one's mind, one can never forget him in any circumstance. Chal Pariksit, after coming out of the womb, was in the habit of examining everyone to see whether he was the same personality whom he first saw in the womb. But no one could be equal to or more attractive than the Lord. And therefore he never accepted anyone. But the Lord was constantly with him by such examination. And thus Maharaj Pariksit was always engaged in devotional service of the Lord by remembrance. Srila Jiva Goswami remarks in this connection, so this is emphasized in my book, in italics, this sentence, so pay attention. Srila Jiva Goswami marks in this connection that every child, if given an impression of the Lord from his very childhood, certainly becomes a great devotee of the Lord, like Maharaj Pariksit. One may not be as fortunate as Maharaj Pariksit to have the opportunity to see the Lord in the womb of his mother, but even if he's not so fortunate, he can be made so if the parents of the child desire him to be so. There is a practical example in my personal life in this connection. My father was a pure devotee of the Lord, and when I was only 4 or 5 years old, my father gave me a couple of forms of Radha and Krishna. in a playful manner. I used to worship these deities along with my sister, and I used to imitate the performances of a neighboring temple of Radha Govinda. By constantly visiting this neighboring temple and copying the ceremonies in connection with my own deities of play, I developed a natural affinity for the Lord. My father used to observe all the ceremonies befitting my position. Later on, these activities were suspended due to my association in schools and colleges, and I became completely out of practice. But in my youthful days, when I met my spiritual master, Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, again I revived my old habit, and the same playful deities became my worshipful deities in proper regulation. This was followed up until I left the family connection, and I am pleased that my generous father gave the first impression, which was developed later, into regulative devotional service by His Divine Grace. Maharaj Prahlad also advised that such impressions of a godly relation must be impregnated from the beginning of childhood. Otherwise, one may miss the opportunity of human form of life, which is very valuable, although it is temporary, like others. Mukam paradivachalam pangam langate girinya kipantam ham vande si gurudam kama Om ajnana timirandasya gyananja shakaya chakshir miditam yena tasavai shri gurave namaha. So before I start, I'd like to ask for blessings from all the Vaishnavas, because I'm going to leave Alacha and start traveling in a week to Ireland and to India. So it was very nice to be here with all of you, and thank you very much, Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada compares himself to Maharaj Parikshit. How is he similar? He got the impression of Krishna in his childhood, just like Parikshit Maharaj. And just like Parikshit Maharaj, he was a Mahabhagavat, a great devotee. So because Parikshit got that first impression to stay with him, and his whole life he was examining. So these children who have the impression of the Lord in the early days, they'll never forget Prabhupada. No matter how far away they go into material life, they still can't forget it. There's still something in their heart that's talking to them. Don't forget me, remember me. Even though they try sometimes to forget. But it's a great opportunity. Now, there's a famous saying uttered by Socrates when he was on trial for impiety and corrupting the youth, for which he was subsequently sentenced to death. So what he said was, the unexamined life is not worth living. So Parikshit had a very examined life, and we should also examine our life. We should be introspective and ask questions, what am I, how am I doing in my spiritual life? And how can I advance? How can I go closer to Krishna? So these questions, they're very important questions. Bhagavatam is full of very important questions and answers, which help us to be introspective and examine our lives. And so in the first canto, in the second chapter, there is a verse all about questions and answers. And the first person who said this was Suta Goswami. He was asked questions by the sages, six famous questions. And he said, your questions are worthy because they are relating to Krishna. This will be helpful for the world's welfare. And only these type of questions can completely satisfy the self. And so Srila Prabhupada explains in that purport to that verse that in all the Vedas, there is nothing but searching for Krishna. And these questions are the questions about Krishna are the sum and substance of all Vedic questions. The whole world, of course, is full of questions and answers. Prabhupada talks about the birds and the beasts in the morning. The birds are asking questions. We may not know what they're saying, but Prabhupada knew what the birds were saying. And he knew many. In fact, one time he was on a morning walk. And on that morning walk, he heard the birds in New York City. And he said, these birds are chanting Hare Krishna. And the devotee asked Prabhupada, really? Are they chanting Hare Krishna? And Prabhupada said, well, it sounds like it to me. So Prabhupada understood the language of the birds. And he said, the birds are asking questions in the morning and asking questions at night. And human beings, unless they're fast asleep, are asking questions in the morning and questions at night. In the parliament, they're asking questions. Everywhere you go, the lawyers, the politicians, the press, they're busy with questions and answers. When Prabhupada traveled, they would always ask Prabhupada questions. Why have you come here? When he went to London, I've come to teach you what you have forgotten, and that is God. So always with Krishna, Prabhupada's answers were there. Now Prabhupada said, Krishna is our most intimate master, friend, father, or son, and object of conjugal love. Forgetting Krishna, we've created so many objects of questions and answers, but none of them can give us satisfaction. All things but Krishna give temporary satisfaction. We can't live without questions and answers. We always have to ask questions. So we should ask questions about Krishna. And then he ends that purport. He says, Shrimad Bhagavatam and Krishna are the sum total of all things. Krishna and Bhagavatam. Sum total. Krishna plus Bhagavatam equals everything. And so Srila Prabhupada mentions that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was publishing a daily newspaper on spiritual news. And one big politician was surprised. He said, how can you write a daily newspaper on spiritual world? And you know what he said, of course. He said, this world is only 1/4 of the whole cosmos, and 3/4 is the spiritual world. As the Prabhupada said, the politicians think newspaper can be filled up with rubbish political news only. That's all. So we are thinking, he said, why are you thinking only one small? In this, there are so many universes, this is one. There are so many planets, and it's one small planet. And there are so many cities, and every city there's so many newspapers. And the spiritual world is 3 times more. So how many more newspapers can we have about the spiritual world? So this is questions and answers. So Srila Prabhupada said, when a devotee is asked questions about Krishna, then the whole world, if we give the answer, the whole world will be peaceful. So there's one solution for peace, if people ask us questions about Krishna. So Sutta Goswami was pleased, and Prabhupada was giving a Bhagavatam class on this verse in Vrindavan when I was there in 1972 for the Nectar of Devotion series. And he said, just like you're sitting here in Vrindavan, this is the process of understanding Krishna prashna, Krishna questions. In the sacred place, the Goswamis used to sit and study Bhagavatam under the leadership of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. So for a few days, let's sit down under the protection of Sri Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami and discuss something. So in the, again, the second chapter of this canto, the 10th verse says, Jivasya Tattva Jigyasya. Our real business is to inquire about the absolute truth, Tattva Jigyasya. So Vedanta Sutta begins, Atato Brahma Jigyasya. And so this Brahma Jigyasya and Tattva Jigyasya are the same thing, Brahma and Tattva. Atato. So what, Atato means now. Now what? What does it mean now? Now you have the human form of life. Now you have a bit of intelligence. You can ask questions about Krishna. You're working hard maintaining your body. No, this is not the purpose of life. Okay, keep yourself fit, but your life should be for tattva jivyasa, for asking questions about Krishna. And then Prabhupada in the lecture, in the same lecture actually, he said, don't sleep, get up, wake up. Utishtata jagata prapya varan nibodhata. Don't sleep. This life is meant for inquiring about the absolute truth and understanding. And so philosophies, we have so many philosophies, and they try to answer our questions. And there's four basic questions, four essential questions that all philosophies answer. So what are those four questions that philosophies must give you the answer to? Number one, what is the cause of creation? Even the scientific philosophy has that question. Number two, what is the cause of suffering? So creation, suffering. Number three, what is the concept of truth? What is truth? What is reality? And number four, what is the process to reach the truth and what is the goal? Samadhanabhidayaprayojana in our words, but creation, what is the cause of suffering, what is the concept of truth, what is the process to reach it, and what is the goal? So today I'm going to discuss our Krishna conscious philosophy and compare it to the atheistic philosophy. And there are different answers to these four essential questions. Kapila Dev, he gave us our Sankhya philosophical system, incarnation of Krishna, and he gave us the actual truth and the actual process and the answer to these questions. And then there's another Kapila who was an atheist, and Prabhupada calls him an imitation Kapila, and he gave us the atheistic version, which we can hear today, these answers by the atheists. So what is the cause of creation? Our Kapila Dev said, the Supreme Lord is the cause. The Supreme Lord. He glanced at Prakriti, feeling compassion on the suffering living entities in this world, and that's the cause of creation. And they say, the imitation says that, no, Prakriti, Maya, material energy is the cause of creation. And from Prakriti comes Purusha and Pradhana, then comes these two. Whereas our Kapila says, no, it starts with Purusha and Prakriti. Purusha and Prakriti, Prakriti. And they say, no, it's all coming from a void, an inexplicable, unmanifested void. So from nothing came everything. Do we have any experience? Can you prove it? That from nothing comes everything? Let's see the proof that from nothing comes everything. And so that is the two different philosophies on what is the cause of creation. The second question, what is the cause of suffering? So our philosophy, Kapila Dev says, the cause of suffering is the jiva, the living entity, is misidentifying with Prakriti, which is Krishna's energy. So ignorance is cause of suffering. And the atheistic philosophy, they say, Prakriti is the cause of suffering, and it's false. You're suffering because you're feeling these pains of emotions, of personal relationships. These combinations are causes of happiness and distress. And if you disintegrate matter, then you'll be free from all your pains. So Prabhupada says sometimes people commit suicide. They say, yeah, if I commit suicide, all these pains and pleasures will be finished, and I'll be free, I'll be liberated. Because he has no information that this body is an instrument to feel pains and pleasures. I was just reading on the internet about one man in a car who decided to commit suicide. He took the exhaust pipe of his car and attached a pipe to it and put it through his window, and he was sitting there waiting to die. When a devotee came up with a book and wanted to sell him a book, and he said, no, go away. And so he put his window back up. So the devotee thought, oh, that man's so disturbed. I better put a book. He put a book under his windshield. And the man saw the book. He said, anyway, I'm going to die. Let me read a little bit before I die. So he took the book. He read it. He said, oh my God, everybody else is happy and I think they're doing so well and I'm not, but it's